In Jesus' name. Got your Bibles with you this morning, or your iPads, or your phones, or I don't know what it is you use these days. Please turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. And I want you to take particular interest in this text we're going to read, because it's not just a question of Jesus healing somebody with a blind condition. No, there's more to it, because if it was just a question of Jesus healing somebody, John, the writer of this text, wouldn't have given as much detail as he's given in this text. You know, at times, things don't always look the way they seem. Have you ever seen a duck swimming before? On the surface, they look so calm, but underneath, they're paddling so hard. You know, and at times, the word of God is like that. You know, on the surface, it looks like it's cool, but underneath, there's so much underneath. So in John, in the opening verse of John chapter 9, it says, "Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth." As Jesus passed by, just go back, please. He saw a man who was blind from birth. How did he even know that the guy was blind in the first place from birth? It could have been anything, but he just picked it up straight away that this guy has been blind from birth. So he saw somebody who had limitations. He saw somebody who had a handicap. He saw somebody who was at the mercy of other people. Because when you're blind, you probably have to depend on other people to do certain things. He saw somebody who didn't have control over his situation. It wasn't his fault that he was born blind. It wasn't his fault. But he saw somebody who had no control over his situation. And I just want to tell you this morning that I don't know what struggles you're facing or what it is that you're going through, but God sees your pain. He sees your struggles. He sees where you are. He sees it because he created you. So he sees it. And the Bible says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Next verse. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned? Is it this man or his parents?" I don't know if you've ever been in a situation whereby people judge you because you find yourself in a certain situation. "Oh, it's because he did this. That's why he's like that." Oh, church people, you know, they judge you at times. Look at him. I mean, he must have done this. That's where he is. But at times, it's no fault of yours. You just find yourself in situations that you can't help, that you have absolutely no control over. And so his disciples said to him, "Jesus, who sinned? Is it him or is it his parents?" And in the next verse, Jesus says this. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Now, who here wants to see the work of God revealed in them? I certainly do. I certainly want to see the work of God revealed in me. I mean, I was sitting there last Sunday when I saw Pastor Joe crying because Marilyn was on this stage preaching. I mean, she's seen me preach several times, but she's never cried. It's very disappointing. But she was crying because Marilyn was preaching. You know, and the reason why she was crying, you know, because she was seeing the works of God in this woman. She sat there and thought, "Oh, wow, look how far this woman has come." And as a result, it brought tears to her eyes. Look how far, look what God is doing in this person. And you know, she may have preached for maybe 15 or 20 minutes, but you know, they say every journey of 1,000 miles begins with a what? With a step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step. And let me tell you something. Every achievement in life, first of all, starts with your decision to try. Every achievement in life will start with a decision to try. The problem is most of us don't even try at all. We don't try at all. You see that, you know, we are concerned about what people would say. We are worried about what people would say. We are afraid of what will happen or what wouldn't happen. But the thing is, we are afraid that we will fail. But listen, failure doesn't define you. Failure only refines you. Because anything you get wrong, you know that you don't... Oh, somebody give God a clap. Failure, it doesn't define, it only refines you. Hallelujah. And I think of the story of Joyce Meyer, for instance. When I heard her story, you know, how she was abused as a child, you know, all the things she went through. Ike, please kill the drums. Please. All the things she went through, and yet she became what she is today. And if she hadn't gone through all that she went, she probably wouldn't have been what she was. And so if you go to God and you say, "God, why did you allow all these things to happen to Joyce Meyer?" God will tell you that it's so that my works will be revealed in her life. And as a result, look how many people have been saved because of her, both Christians and non-Christians alike. Look at the transformation that God has brought in other people's life. I was speaking the other day with Sandra, you know, and you see this woman here, she's a mighty woman of God. If she tells you what she's been through and she's still standing, you wouldn't believe it. And that's why one day I'm going to get you to stand here and share with us, Sandra, because of what God has done in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the next verse, let's go on. It says, verse 4, it says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Next verse, please. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground. Somebody say, yuck. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. Somebody say, yuck again. And then he anointed the eyes of the blind man with a clay. He spat on the ground with a clay. I mean, think about the stench. But you know, if the stench is going to set me free, Jesus, please give me your saliva any day. Give me your saliva any day. But listen, what God is trying to say is, look, at times, the road or the recovery to your healing or to your breakthrough, it's not always pleasant. It's not always pleasant, you know. And that's what he's trying to do. There are times that it may stink. But please, give me the stink. Give me the stench if that will set me free. I'll have it anytime. That's what he's trying to say. Let's see verse 7. And then he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Next verse. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, it's not this he who sat and begged. Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. He said, I am he. I mean, God is the type of God who can do such a work in you that people will see you and they won't even recognize you. So transformed was this guy that people who even knew him before saw him and thought, we can't recognize this guy because the work that God has done in him is so complete that he's a different person. You know, and that's why Pastor Joe looks at Marilyn and she cries because the work that God is doing in her is so complete that it brings tears to her eyes. Hallelujah. And now listen, if you've been in this church for some time, you may have heard the word or the phrase or the sentence, if all is well, why am I like this? If all is well, why am I like this? And this thing comes from Genesis chapter 20, I think, or Genesis chapter 25. If I'm right, let's see if I've got it here. Genesis chapter 25, yes, verse 21. It says, listen, it says, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Next verse. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Can I have this in the Amplified version as well, please? I'll read it again in the Amplified version, Marie, if you've got it, please. Let's start from 21. It says, and Isaac prayed much to the Lord for his wife because she was unable to bear children. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, became pregnant. Two children struggled together within her, and she said, if it is so that the Lord has said our prayer, why am I like this? And she went to inquire of the Lord. So Isaac and Rebekah had been married for some time. 20 years, they still didn't have children. So Isaac goes and prays to God. And finally, God answers the prayer. And when God answers the prayer and Rebekah becomes pregnant, there's still some kind of struggle in her womb. She is struggling. She says, God, I came to you for prayer. You've answered my prayer. But what is all this struggle about? I don't get it. If you are the one who's answered my prayer, why the struggle? Why the pain? Why am I going through this? And God is saying, at times, when you're going through struggles, it's a sign that I'm about to do great things in your life. When you're going through struggles, it's a sign that I'm about to do great things, or you're going to birth great things. Because later on, we find out that, you know, there were two nations in that woman's womb. Now, having two nations in your womb is a great sign. Now, I'm using this because if all is well, why am I like this? Because it seems to me in John chapter 9, let's go back there, please. John chapter 9, verse 1, it seems to me like this is what the disciples were saying to Jesus. As he passed along, he noticed them on the next verse. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned that this man, or who sinned this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Now, it seems as though the disciples were saying, Rabbi, if all is well, why is this man like this? if all is well, why is he blind? Is it because his parents sin, and or is it because he sin? And Jesus said, no. It's got absolutely nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing. But it's so that my works will be manifested in him. So that my works will be manifested in him. And this morning, what I want to say is this. Is it possible that all your struggles, all your pain and everything that you're going through, is it possible that God wants to show you his power through the pain? Is it possible that God wants to show you his power or his miracle through the pain? Maybe he wants to reveal his miracle in your life through the lens of that need that you have. You know, he says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Every single need, he says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. As long as there's a need, the supply is there. So if there's no need, there is no supply. And so he's saying the fact that you've got a need in your life should tell you that I am setting you up to bless you. I'm setting you up to open doors for you. And that is what he's saying. And I want us to begin to see things differently as from today. That our need is not something to set us back. Our need is not something negative, but our need is something that God uses to bring glory to his name. Now, if you didn't have a need, you'd be self-sufficient. You probably wouldn't need God. You probably wouldn't need God. How do you know God can heal blind eyes if there's no blind person for him to heal? How can you know that he can raise the dead back to life if there's no dead person? Or how can you know that he can restore the barren if there's nobody like that? And so for him to do that, at times he works in situations that doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense. But in the end, it's so that he brings glory to his name. And so Jesus instructs this guy. He says, In verse 4, he says, go and wash your face. Now, you've got a blind man, right? Now, I'm not even sure if he knows where the pool is. Maybe he may have heard of the pool. But I'm not even sure if he can go. So he what does he do? He takes tiny steps. Because when you're blind, you can't just walk off to a pool like that. You probably have to take tiny steps, you know, like little steps of faith. And then the minute you begin to do that, probably, I want to believe that there are people around who would help him to where the pool is. Or even maybe Jesus himself would help him to where the pool is. But as a blind person, you can't just start off immediately and go. You probably have to take tiny steps, steps like that. But eventually he makes it to the pool and back. And then when he does that, he's completely restored. You know, he wasn't the person that he was anymore. You know, he was a renewed person. He was a transformed person. And that's what I was saying last week. That, you know, the process to your provision starts when you obey God. Or even the key to your miracle, you know, is your decision to act in response to God's word. Now listen, the steps he takes, maybe you may even call it a step of faith. But it was so tiny that, you know, it probably may have taken him a while to get there. But he still took it anyway. And that brought his restoration. And the point I want to make, you know, sometimes in life, the steps that you take, you know, in the right direction probably may be the only step that you need to take in life. The steps that you take, the tiny little step that you take in the right direction can end up being the biggest step in your life that you can take. And so whatever you do, even if you tiptoe, please take that step anyway. Because you never know that everything, the rest of your life, would hinge on that step that you take. Every little step you have to take, you need to take, because it's what eventually takes you to where you want to be. And in the same way, at times, if you take a step that is in the wrong direction, it can cost you. I remember when God promised, Abraham was 75 years old, when God said to him, I am going to give you a son. Now, he waited for over 25 years and still didn't see the promise. So what did he do? He decided to take matters into his own hands. And then he slept with his maidservant, and as a result, they had a child. Now, initially, everything seemed to be okay until eventually he saw his mistakes. Now, I've been told that, you know, things that are happening in the Middle East right now, all the wars we hear about, is as a result of that decision he took, you know. And at times in life, you see, God has standards. He's got standards. And any time you go against his standard, you know, the first thing really you should be doing is go down on your knees and say, God, you know, I got it wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I got it wrong. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. Because the problem with not doing that is anytime you go against God's standard, Many times we think we break his standard. We don't break the standard. The standard ends up breaking us instead. And as a result, it causes us a problem. You don't believe me? Look at the life of Solomon. Look at the life of Saul. Look at the lives of so many people in the Bible who broke the standard of God, and instead the standard ended up breaking them. And so this morning, my message to you, you know, you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that will. In everything, it doesn't even give any boundaries. In every situation, whatever you go through, give thanks, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Some things may not make sense, but you see, God sees what you don't see. He hears what you don't hear. He understands what you don't understand. And in this year of expansion, I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't know what struggles you're going through. I don't know what problems you're facing. But God wants you to have a different perspective of your need, because he's saying, look, I want to work through you, through that need that you have. I want to glorify my name through that need that you have. But until you begin to see that need as a way of me coming into your life and changing it, then it probably won't happen. Yemi said something. He said, well, you have to believe, you have to act, and you have to have faith. Now, I've turned it around. You have to believe, you have to have faith, and you have to act. And that is, he's so right. In this year of expansion, you have to believe. In this year of expansion, you need faith, irrespective of the circumstances, irrespective of what you're going through, irrespective of everything that you think has hit you. And also, you have to act, most importantly. Because if you sit down and do nothing, then nothing happens. Nothing happens. We're already in March, and I guarantee you some people are still the same way, maybe as they started in 2017. But that is not God's plan for you. And I've said it before, that if he's issued out the decree, or if he's issued out his will for us, it's because he wants to see us progress. It's because he wants us to see us better. He said he laid down his life just for you. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so you need to ask yourself, if you're not seeing that abundant life, you need to say, God, what is it that I'm doing, or what is it that I'm not doing, that I'm not seeing that abundant life? And if you can't hear God's voice, then maybe you should get Sean Ball's book, Translating God, because you can hear him. No, because it's really important that you hear the voice of God so that you can go in the right direction. Hallelujah. I just want to spend the next few minutes to do some ministry. So I just want you to rise up on your feet right now. And I'll ask Janita, please, if you're here, to come on the keyboard. Guys, there is no point. I always say to my cell members, there is no point coming to cell or to church Sunday in, Sunday out, and going back the same way that you came. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 25, verse 21. Can we go there, please? John 25, 21. Just want to show you something quickly. John 21, 25. Or 25, 21. I can't remember. 25, 21. Let's try 25, 21. John chapter, the last chapter of John. I'll read it from my Bible. Just want to show you something right now. Great. Now listen to this. It says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. If they should be all recorded one by one in detail, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain, have room, the books that would be written. Now what he's trying to say, there's so many things that Jesus did whilst he was alive. So many things that if they decide to record it, there simply wouldn't be any room to record that. Now, the fact that certain things are in the Bible, the fact that certain things have been recorded in the Bible, should tell you that God put it in there for a purpose. He put it in there for a purpose. And the purpose is that if he can do it for somebody, he can do it for you too. Can we look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29? That's the last verse. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. Look at this. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Every single thing God has revealed in the Bible is for you forever. It's for you forever. He expects you that if he's done it before, you can do it again. And that is what it is. And so everything, you see, God doesn't do anything just for the sake of doing. Every single thing he does has a purpose. You may not always understand the purpose behind, but believe me, he has a purpose. And I keep saying, you know, there's no point coming in Sunday out, Sunday in going to sell and still remaining the same. I would question myself. I would question myself because I know God doesn't lie. So I said to God, God, why am I not seeing your hand in my life? Why not? Why not? And this morning, I just want us to raise our hands before God right now. Father, thank you so much for your word. And I thank you, Father, for the revelation that you bring through your word. Father, I know there are needs here that are unspoken, but just like the blind man, you see it anyway. You see it. And so I lift every need before you right now. Father, the only purpose why they will go through that is so that you glorify yourself. Because you said, you have come, Lord, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, Lord. When there is a need in our life, it's not an abundant life. That is against your word. And so there must be a reason why that need is there. And so, Lord, today I pray that you glorify yourself through that need, oh God. You glorify yourself through that need, oh God. Father, let them come back with testimonies of what, oh God, you are doing in their lives, Father. Father, I lift every single person here into your hands. Father, reach out, reach out, reach out, Father, reach out, reach out, God. Father, I stand on the authority that you have given me as your child, oh God. And I speak life, Lord, into every situation right now, Lord. I speak life into every limitation right now, oh God. I speak life into every struggle, oh God, right now, Lord. Let it be a testimony, oh God, that will bring glory to your name. And I pray, oh God, that you bring the understanding to your children, that God, that your struggle is not in vain, but it's because, Father, you are about to birth something great in their lives. I thank you, Father. I give you all the glory, Lord. I give you all the praise, King of Kings. I give you all the thanks and all the adoration, Jehovah Jireh. In Jesus' name.